Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Every American citizen, you live in American style. You're every American citizen's child and loves the guarantee that we'll survive.
Joining us for the next few minutes to talk about our vocation as citizen. Tomorrow is Citizenship Day. Dr. Gene Edward Veith, we often confuse, don't we, our life as citizens of the world to come. Our commonwealth is in heaven, says the Apostle Paul. With our citizenship here, there's a tension created by having this dual citizenship. What does it mean to have the vocation, the divine calling of citizen in this world? Dr. Gene Edward Veith is a regular guest. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's author of the book God at Work, Your Christian Vocation in All of Life. Dr. Veith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again.
This is a time of, and has been for the last couple of weeks, a time of renewed patriotism with the celebration of the 9/11 memorials 10 years after. But you say that the civil religion of patriotism is not the same as saving faith. What do you mean?
Well, in the public sphere, we've seen God Bless America, and you know, we're one nation under God, and God We Trust is on our currency, and there's a lot of kind of generic God talk, I suppose. And in our society, we have our rituals, we have our, you know, sacred objects like flags, and those have, I don't want to totally downplay those, but the danger comes when we confuse that with the special faith of faith in Christ and the church. And I mean, Lutheran theology teaches that there are two kingdoms, and we're citizens of both. We're citizens of the spiritual kingdom that God brings us in, that He sustains through word and sacrament, and that will last forever. And we see that going on in the church, and that's where our salvation comes. That's where our faith has to be. But God is the king over all of His creation, and He rules the world, even those who don't know Him, you know, through the moral law, through the laws He's built into creation, through His providential care. An important part of that is vocation. As I keep saying, you know, God sustains, you know, God gives daily bread to us and even to non-believers through the vocation of farmers and so on. He creates new life, the vocation of families. And we have a vocation in the church. We have a vocation in the workplace. We have a vocation in the family. And we also have a vocation as citizens. And so God wants us to live out our faith where in the nation, in the state, where we have our citizenship. And so Christians are to be good citizens. And God is not totally absent from that realm at all, but He's hidden, and He works in a different way than He does with the church. But we do have a calling, a citizenship.
When we come back, God rules in the civil realm. He rules all men according to these human governments, these institutions, by force, by reason. But for the Christian, how does God govern His other kingdom, wherein we have that other side of our dual citizenship, the church? We'll get an answer to that question from Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of the book God at Work, Your Christian Vocation in All of Life, right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Yeah, well, evangelical Christians are such strong supporters of Israel that, in essence, Israel can almost do no wrong.
His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me.
This is what God gives in his supper, that he gives present tense forgiveness, present tense restoration.
And if you think the 1.5 billion Muslims are going to consider a 15-story mega mosque in a building that was destroyed in the 9/11 attacks as a mosque of reconciliation, you got to put down the bomb order.
Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming up a little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc. In the meantime, Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. We're talking about your vocation as a citizen. Wherever you live, you have a vocation as a citizen. Now, he rules, that is, God rules in the civil realm through these human institutions of government that he authorizes, even to use reason and force to keep the peace. Dr. Veith, how does God govern Christians in his church?
Well, through the Word of God, primarily, through the word and sacrament, through the Holy Spirit who brings us to faith, through those words and sacrament, and then God's word continues to give us guidance. The way he governs in the physical world and in the societies that we have is not in a religious way, but it's in a very secular way, but that he's hidden and moving in that. Now, there's a big misconception about that, though, I think. That doesn't mean that anything goes in the state or anything goes in the government or in the earthly kingdom. That does not mean that the status quo is necessarily sanctioned by God. You know, this is a realm of sin and rebellion, and the devil is the prince of this world, and so there's struggles in the spiritual kingdom between Satan and Christ, and between sin and God's grace. There's conflict in the physical realm and in the nation too. God, as I said, rules his earthly kingdom through his law, through the moral law. And so I think Christians are right to want the moral law in the society, in the state. We're right to oppose abortion, for example. We're right to work for justice. We're right to want to uphold, you know, the moral life. That doesn't mean we're trying to impose our religion on anyone. Our religion can't be imposed on anyone. Our religion is the gift of God in faith in His Son. But in the world, and again, things that violate the moral law, I think in our citizenship, we're right to challenge those. God rules through, you know, reason and the natural law. There are a lot of ideas that and philosophies that oppose reason and that want to use force. And so to say that God rules that world is to say something about the world, is to have a philosophy about the society and how it should be. Although people, Christians, can have different political views, and they do within the church. God doesn't dictate that. The church's political involvement, that's not the mission of the church. We've got to be careful not to have a social gospel, either of the left, as liberals have been doing for a long time. Now we have a social gospel of the right. You know, we've got to be aware of that. No, our identity in the spiritual kingdom is in the church and is distinct. But that doesn't mean we have to pull away from all political involvement. Again, God gives us His faith, builds us up in the world, and then He sends us out into our vocation to live that out, and that includes our citizenship.
Someone might say, well, if, and many do, say, look, my religious beliefs are my religious beliefs, and my political and social beliefs are my political and social beliefs. And the two don't necessarily have to have anything to do with one another. They will even argue, say, in the case of abortion or the life issue, that those are religious beliefs. And I can lay them aside, perhaps even disregard them in terms of how I vote, maybe if we work in government as part of our vocation, how I govern.
Mm-hmm.
What's your response?
I think that's a real misconception. Again, the doctrine of the two kingdoms is not a dualism. It's not a way to separate those two in such a way that they have nothing to do with each other. It's God is the king of both realms. And so it's a way to actually bring them together while avoiding some of the traps of just a church that's just a worldly institution, or a worldly institution that has spiritual claims on someone. What the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms does is to relate them. They're both under God. And so policies that violate God violate the Doctrine of Two Kingdoms in this sense. Not the God that we join in worship or other things. Again, that's the business of the church. But in the workings of the society, notice abortion is not a religious issue. It's a moral issue. And Christians are not under the law in the church in a very profound way. But as citizens, we are under the law, and we're under the law of God as we live out in this world. There's the first use of the law to restrain sinful people so we don't just tear each other apart and life on this world is possible. So the first use of the law is the business of the society, of the state. And when little children are killed by abortion, that's a horrible injustice. That's a violation. So we should battle that. In the church, though, what we have to offer is forgiveness for the woman who has had abortion. It's in the church that we offer the gospel and forgiveness for our transgressions. And so Christians can oppose the evils in the world in our citizenship, but at the same time, in the church, as Christians, extend forgiveness and God's grace to those who sin against those very things we're battling. And a lot of times those distinctions get lost, and the church becomes a place of law and legalism, and the focus is on, you know, doing good and being good. The church is a place for sinners, and yet in our citizenship in the world, you know, that's where the moral law needs to be applied.
You say that Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism are as much cultures. In fact, they may be more cultures than they are theologies, but Christianity is not a cultural religion. Yeah. Explain that, if you would.
Well, again, sociologists and anthropologists who talk about religion say, well, religion is just a way a society, a culture, sustains itself by saying that it's sacred. And so the rules of that culture become sacred rules, and it becomes difficult to question that. And if you become a Muslim, indeed Islam is about Islamic law and establishing an Islamic culture. What you eat, how you dress, how you do everything is all regulated by law, and it's a cultural religion. To become a Muslim is to adopt a culture. Hinduism is very much a cultural religion. And to adapt Hinduism, you have the caste system, and you have the customs and the social stratifications and things of India. And tribal religions, very much the same way. Christianity, though, the Bible says, is for all nations and all tribes and all tongues. And it's for everyone. It's universal. It's one of the few religions that really is universal. And it applies to all cultures, all nations. So you can be a person in India or in Iraq or in China or in, you know, modern commercial United States and all have the same faith, even while you're part of that same culture and you have citizenship in different nations. And that's one of the profound and unique elements of Christianity. It's a Catholic faith. That's it. It's universal. It works for every time and every culture, every language, and every people. And so the tendency is to turn religion into a cultural religion. And Christianity has been turned into a cultural religion. You look at the state churches, history of the state church in Europe. You see the Puritans in America. You see, again, our civil religion is kind of an attempt sometimes to give religious sanction to our particular history and our nation and our customs. But again, real Christianity, that doesn't last very long with Christianity because Christianity posits a God and a law above our culture by which we can judge it, by which it can be changed. But more profoundly, in the spiritual kingdom, we're in a different realm completely. And so it's not true that the church has to follow the culture in order to be relevant. When it does follow the culture, that turns Christianity into a cultural religion again. It's distinct from the culture. It's in tension with the culture at many points. But, again, that's what gives the church its vitality and its universality. At the same time, again, we're sent into our own culture, just as we're sent into our families and into the workplace, to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbor.
When we come back, there is a conundrum created by living this dual citizenship, when to obey and when, as the apostles once said, to obey God rather than men. Also, Dr. Gene Edward Veith's best advice on living as a Christian citizen, understanding your vocation as citizen, is our topic. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest, provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of the book God at Work, Your Christian Vocation in All of Life. We'll have a couple more questions for Dr. Gene Edward Veith on your vocation as citizen, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance by going to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can listen at our website to those four soundbites in advance, issuesetc.org. You can also vote by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait for Soundbite of the Week and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. A few more minutes on Christian vocation of citizenship with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Then it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Minnesota is once again funding human cloning.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Despite a 2009 ban, Life News reports that the state of Minnesota is again funding human cloning. Even though state legislators recently voted to continue the ban, Democrat Governor Mark Dayton vetoed the extension. Leo Lalonde of Minnesota Citizens for Life responded, "Many states and countries and the United Nations have called for an all-out ban on all forms of human cloning. But here in Minnesota, we will now actually make state funds available to create a human clone, despite the fact that polling shows the American people are overwhelmingly opposed to human cloning."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Issues, etc. Soundbite of the week coming up here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, a couple more questions on the vocation of citizen for Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Dr. Veith, it does create, this dual citizenship does create a conundrum. I guess it's kind of classically put, when to obey and when to, as the apostles once said, obey God rather than men.
Yeah. Well, part of the doctrine of vocation and the fact that God has established the state as one of his institutions, just like he established the church and the family for governing human life, Romans 13 tells us that God works through the earthly leaders to, again, restrain evil, to punish the evildoers and to reward those who do well. So then vocation, recognizing vocation, God is at work through human beings, including through those who have, you know, earthly authority over us. Now, sometimes those earthly authorities sin against their vocation. There's some rulers who, instead of punishing evildoers and rewarding those who do well, they punish those who do well and reward the evildoers. And again, when they do that, they're not acting in God's vocation. God doesn't call rulers to act that way, to mistreat those who he's given responsibility for. Rulers are to love and serve their neighbors by exercising authority over them and by protecting them. So when there are evils in society, it doesn't mean that Christians just passively accept them. Christians should, again, obey God rather than men. When the state is violating the moral law, a law of God, or blaspheming God, or outlawing the church, has happened so many times. Christians, they're struggling. I mean, still, they want to obey the law. They need to submit to their rules. Sometimes that means accepting martyrdom. It means suffering for what they believe. And again, this is something that's happening all over the world, and it's happened here, may well happen more, even in our more free society. But there's another thing about Romans 13 and how it applies to us. We live in a unique state, a unique system of government, where it isn't that we have a king that we have to submit to. We have rulers, but the rulers are themselves ruled by the people. And so they are answerable to us, and we elect them or turn them out of office. And so all of us citizens of this country have the vocation of being rulers as well as the vocation of being subjects. So we have to know about the issues, and we have to make the decisions how we think our country should go. We don't have the luxury of just sitting back and letting a king do it. In a democratic republic, we have the function of the ruler. So we need to, in our own citizenship, in our own voting, restrain evil and reward those who do well. And so, again, we have a very complex vocation for those of us whom God has assigned to live in the United States of America.
So then finally, with only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Veith, what is your best piece of advice on teaching the vocation of citizen?
Well, love and serve your neighbors. Again, the purpose of every vocation is to love and serve your neighbors. So in the vocation of citizenship, we have to ask, who are our neighbors? And that would be our fellow citizens. So instead of just being concerned about our own enlightened self-interest, as in sort of the conservative orthodoxy, Christian conservative orthodoxy would say, how will my decisions affect my fellow citizens? It's to think more broadly, not just our own interests, but the public good and the good of others and of the nation as a whole. And that would be a distinctly Christian take on the vocation of citizen.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of the book God at Work, Your Christian Vocation and All of Life. You can purchase God at Work at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for God at Work by our guest, Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Dr. Veith, thank you again.
Yeah, my pleasure.